From WIPR, I'm Sheila Cast. We're on the record. When archaeologists from the University of Maryland asked descendants of those who were enslaved at Y House on the Eastern Shore what questions they wanted archaeology to answer, the families wanted to know their ancestors' values and how they worshipped. Over years of digging, sifting, and studying, archaeologists have found evidence of the slaves' skill at managing a complex greenhouse, of a new cuisine they created alongside their owners, and of the belief system they cherished. The exhibit is called Frederick Douglass and Y House, and the point, says Professor Mark Leone,
is to show the creativity and the originality of African American culture. This is where it was invented, not just on this plantation, but on the hundreds, if not thousands, of other plantations all over North America.
It's on the record after the news.
You're listening to On the Record, the podcast, a service of your public radio, 88.1 WYPR. Find more podcasts online at wypr.org. And tell us what you think. Send an email to ontherecord@wypr.org.
Good morning. I'm Sheila Cast. We're On the Record. I'm standing in the Frederick Douglass Plaza at the University of Maryland College Park. There's a bronze statue here of a young, energetic, charismatic Douglass, 7 years after he'd escaped slavery in Maryland. And embedded in the pavement are quotations from Douglass. I'm looking at one that says, "I didn't know I was a slave until I couldn't do the things I wanted." I'm about to enter the Hornbeck Library at the edge of this plaza to see an exhibit of some of the remarkable discoveries University of Maryland archaeologists have made about how Frederick Douglass and his fellow slaves lived at Y House, the plantation on the Eastern Shore where Douglass spent part of his childhood. Let's go. Professor Leone, it's good to see you.
Thank you. It's good to be working with you again. It's a great pleasure and an honor.
Introduce yourself to our listeners.
I'm Mark Leone. I direct archaeology in Annapolis, which is responsible for the exhibition of Frederick Douglass and Y House. I teach in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Maryland, where we are in Hornbeck Library, which is the special collections library for the whole university. We're in the lobby just before the exhibition room.
And how long have you been researching Y House on the Eastern Shore?
We dug at Y House for 9 years. This is our 11th or 12th year actually researching it. And the researching it really means publishing articles and books about Y House as a consequence of all the archaeological work that the Tillman family allowed us to do there and funded.
Tillman is a famous name in Maryland history. The Tillmans are connected to the family that owned Y House as a plantation?
The Tillmans own Y House, but they are Lloyds. So it's an intermarried family. They are Lloyd descendants, and they are the 11th, 12th, and 13th generation of Lloyds to own the property. They are the founders from the middle of the 17th century. So this is one of the lands and great houses that's still in original hands from the 17th century, not only in Maryland, but in the entire United States. This is a really distinguished family on a very, very important property, and important in large part because this is where Frederick Douglass found that he was a slave. So it was a Lloyd overseer who actually owned Frederick Douglass, but to put it in short terms, the Lloyds owned him, and he understood that he was a slave on their property, and then returned late in life to forgive his former owners and to establish for all of us what the relationship was, could be, between former slaves, former owned people, and their owners. Productive, one of equality, which is what this exhibition is all about.
Before we enter the exhibit, give me that overview. What were the questions that you've been trying to answer at Y House, and what conclusions have you reached?
All of the questions come from African American descendants. So 19 slaves were taken by the Union Army away from Lloyd House. away from White House owned by the Lloyds. They fought in the army, the Union Army, on condition that if they survived, they would be free. They were free. They founded nearby Unionville on land given to them under a rental agreement by Quakers. All of those descendants founded Unionville, and many of them still live there. Many of my graduate students and I went to St. Stephen's AME Church, must be now 12 years ago, went to a service, and after the service, I asked one of the Sunday school teachers, Mrs. Green, what she would want to know from archaeology, and she was extremely plain about what our mission was to be. She was a very firm believer in the authority of St. Paul, and she said, I want to know about slave religiosity. What did slaves believe? And then she also wanted to know what the Lloyds did for freedom. The answer to the latter question is this exhibition. This is about them, and they provided some of the funding for it. But the big deal is slave religion. I want to know about slave spirituality, and that is the central discovery that we made that's on exhibition here.
We're going to talk about that in a few minutes, but before we enter the exhibit, the first thing a visitor sees is this enormous aerial view of White House. What, for listeners who can't look at it at this moment, what is significant for us to know about the geography, the physical layout?
This is an aerial photograph taken from the 1920s, when aerial photography was actually invented during and after World War I. If art ever had a purpose, it is in aerial photography. And anyone looking at this can understand this is a history, this is a moment in time. There are still slave buildings here. There is even an African-American on the porch of an overseer's house, sort of in costume, but still a servant, even though a free one. White House is in its 1920s glory here. You can still see the great gardens. You can see its proximity to the water. You can see the enormously famous and wonderful greenhouse, the only surviving 18th century greenhouse in all of North America, a real treasure, which we were allowed to excavate. So you can see the entire layout of this vast plantation.
That's anthropology professor Mark Leone here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. He's showing me around an exhibit at the University of Maryland College Park titled Frederick Douglass and White House, Archaeology and African American Culture in Maryland. Let's go. I think of archaeologists finding hard things like bullets and buttons, but you learned a lot about the food that Frederick Douglass's people cooked and the plants they grew. How did you do that?
One of my graduate students, Dr. Amanda Tang, did a dissertation on the garbage, the bones from discarded from meals. And what she discovered is that the enslaved people at White House, who were also the cooks, and then the Lloyds were all eating the same foods in different cuts, but the same proportions. And then when we discovered that there were two surviving cookbooks from White House that were lent to us and which we scanned and put online, we discovered that there were four Lloyd cooks and four enslaved women all working together over a period of about a century in the Great Kitchen at White House that still exists. And together they created a series of recipes, which when you read them are apparently Southern cuisine. So Southern cuisine, often credited by white women from the kitchen, and who undoubtedly wrote them down, is in fact a product of African-American cooks and white cooks working together in the same place. So Southern cuisine is not a Creole cooking and not a mestizo cooking. It is an invention of these groups working together using vegetables, herbs, fowl, seafood, sheep, beef. And people ate the same foods using the same recipes. Obviously, the quality varied whether one was a Lloyd or somebody owned by the Lloyds, but there is a single creation that comes as a consequence, and that's one of our discoveries, and it was made by Dr. Amanda Tang.
Tell us about the garden.
The garden at White House, established by the Lloyds, was described by Frederick Douglass as the envy of the Eastern Shore and much of Maryland. So we actually dug the garden, we dug the greenhouse, and in the greenhouse we captured and analyzed the pollen remains. And that's also in the exhibition. And what we discovered are the medical plants, the plants with medical qualities, and an African-American apothecary. In other words, what we call a pharmacopoeia. And some of it, like reeds for sleeping, some of it, like cranberries for cooking or broccoli, but much of it had medical properties. So there's an analgesic. There's stuff for colic. So there are plants with medical properties in the slave quarter of the greenhouse. And we took a room, which was called a potting shed, and discovered that it was a quarter. And of course, it was the quarter for the family that ran the greenhouse. In other words, that kept the microenvironments for over 100 species of plants alive during fairly harsh Maryland winters. So the garden gave us pollen. And we used the pollen, which was analyzed, interestingly, at UMass Boston by Heather Trigg. We turned it into an understanding of African-American medical practices. So a whole set of practices that were useful among the enslaved and subsequently free African-Americans before they could gain access to the medical profession. So there is a self-healing tradition that is bound up also with African-American religiosity.
So you're describing a real specialized knowledge among the particular enslaved people who ran the garden and the greenhouse.
Yes. In other words, what we're talking about in the function of the exhibition is to show the creativity and the originality of African American culture. This is where it was invented, not just on this plantation, but on the hundreds, if not thousands, of other plantations all over North America. So what happens here is not just the survival of African culture and not just the adaptation to European culture and not the creation of a Creole culture, but something that is brand new, a product of the transatlantic bowl, as we say, the switch between Africa, Europe, and America, and the creation of something that never existed before, African-American culture, Southern cooking, a Southern cuisine, an African-American healing tradition, and of course what this exhibition shows that never was shown before, the origins of Methodist Episcopal and African Methodist Episcopal Christianity.
We need to take a quick break here. When we're back, we'll look at perhaps the most ephemeral findings of all about the religion and spirituality of the enslaved people at White House. I'm Sheila Cast. Stay with us.
This is the On the Record podcast, a service of Your Public Radio, member supported 88.1 WYPR. You can support this podcast and everything you hear from WYPR. Become a member. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link.
Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast, getting a tour of an exhibit at the University of Maryland about White House, the plantation near Easton on the Eastern Shore, where Frederick Douglass spent part of his childhood as a slave. The subtitle is Archaeology and African American Culture in Maryland. My tour guide is anthropology professor Mark Leone, director for 36 years of a project called Archaeology in Annapolis. And we're joined now by Stefan Wolke, a doctoral student in archaeology. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
A big part of this exhibit, and I am not trying to make a pun here, a big part of this exhibit revolves around circles and wheels. Walk us through what you found and why you think it's significant.
Well, one of the biggest caches of artifacts that we discovered was underneath a 19th century slave quarter that continued to be occupied up until the beginning of the 20th century. And we found a series of circular objects and other objects placed in circles that had characteristics commonly found in different African-American religious practices of the 18th and 19th century. So they included circles, bottle bases, tin cans from tobacco, which were smashed flat and would have been a shiny red color originally, as well as fragments of white marble placed in circles underneath the home, we believe, for protective purposes.
Protective of against what?
Protective from spirits that roam the landscape. These were common beliefs all across West Africa and parts of West Central Africa. And in a landscape like a plantation, where, as you can imagine, there were many terrible things taking place, the enslaved community looked for any way they could to help protect themselves from physical and emotional violence. And so this is one of the things that we have uncovered.
And you're pretty sure that these, I mean, smashed tin cans might have just been trash.
Yeah, it's true. And I think very often finds like this are overlooked occasionally by archaeologists. But this is not the only cache of artifacts we found which were related to religious practices. The first one was actually uncovered just outside the doorway of the slave quarter on the back of the greenhouse. And this was located right outside the Lloyd family cemetery. And so this was our first piece of evidence that showed different African-American religious practices designed to protect that family from all of those spirits from the Lloyd ancestors who were sleeping right outside their back door.
So they would have set up they would have put something in the doorway, under the doorway, something that would protect them from the spirits in the cemetery.
Yeah, absolutely. So anywhere where there was an opening, a doorway, windows, chimneys, anything like that would have been an easy access for spirits. And so there were different strategies that the enslaved community used to help protect themselves.
Professor Leone, does this seem to be a blending of African traditions with Christianity?
Our original interpretation was exactly as Stefan described. We thought that this was a series of ideas from Africa that had survived, and then we changed our mind when we started to interpret the actual wheel that is really there. And then Stefan actually was one of the people who showed that wheels still exist. So to give it to you backwards, the wheel is the equivalent of a cross. In other words, the cross as a symbol of Christianity is just an invention. It doesn't have to be a cross, as any good Christian knows. It just happens to have been invented in the 3rd century or the 4th century by Constantine and made a label. Well, in African-American Christianity, in Methodist Christianity, Methodist Episcopal Christianity, and AME, the wheel, Ezekiel's wheel, as in the book of Ezekiel, is a potent symbol of how you approach the divine. So what Ezekiel saw in his visions, in his prophetic visions, were angels accompanying a chariot with enormous wheels and a wheel within a wheel, and that's the wheel of faith. So what this wheel is, we think, is an amalgamation of the cosmogram, an African symbol, which is what these circles originally were. But the answer to the question, how did slaves become Christians, is the wheel. So they went from a cosmogram, which is itself a wheel going counterclockwise, to the wheel of Ezekiel's vision of a wheel within a wheel, as an approach to God through the Old Testament, as we say, or the Hebrew Bible appropriately said, and as a way of inventing a brand new kind of Christianity, what we call Afro-Christianity, and in this case, Afro-Protestantism. And the key is that that is like, it is a creation like Leucumie, like Santeria, like Paolo, like Voudun, like many African American, Afro-Caribbean, Afro-Brazilian variants on Christianity, but these are new. They are African, they are Christian, they are Afro-Christian, but here what we have is the origin of these churches which survived through to today. And it is the originality of these churches, their vibrancy on the Eastern Shore, that is why you have to come to see this exhibition. It is the answer to Mrs. Green's question. I want to know about slave spirituality. Well, here it is. And it could only be found through archaeology. In other words, digging in the ground, as they say about biblical archaeology, the fifth gospel. This is an alternative kind of truth, not an alternative fact, but a kind of reality which African Americans can depend on as a way of seeing who they are and that they are the equal of every other Christian church on the Eastern Shore and in America in general.
This is On the Record on WIPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with anthropology professor Mark Leone of the University of Maryland College Park. Also with us is doctoral student Stefan Wolke. We're walking through the exhibit Professor Leone and his students researched through archaeological excavations at Y House on the Eastern Shore, where the enslaved Frederick Douglass spent part of his childhood. Professor Leone, you mentioned the charge you were given by some of the descendants of slaves from Y House. And the exhibit includes an interview with Harriet Lowry of Unionville, who is a descendant. Let's listen to part of what she said.
The first thing that came to my mind was how smart they were, how intelligent they had to have been to not only work with the temperature of the greenhouse, but to help cultivate the plants and to procreate other plants from that. I mean, all of this is like scientific and something that I think young people, especially African-American young people, need to know and to learn, because it should give them as much pride as it gives me to know that we come from so much more than some people would like us to believe or that we believe ourselves.
So what did you learn from Harriet Lowry?
I learned from Harriet how to be an archaeologist. So on the Eastern Shore, what's the problem? Why do you go there? What you see on the Eastern Shore is a series of garden books that tell you how beautiful roses are in the hands of the white elite, or they'll tell you about lynchings, but they won't tell you who did the lynching. What I learned from Harriet Lowry is the significance of archaeology when African Americans give you the questions, and when what they want to know is how did we survive and what did we create? Who are we and how are we equal? And what we provided were answers to the questions that come from the African American community. So while we are good scientists, scientists have to have questions in order to do their science. And the locus of the questions is the descendant community, far more powerful than whatever we did to answer them.
Stefan, what would you say you learned from the descendants of the enslaved at Y House?
I would say that what I learned most was their connections to the past and how that impacts the way that they approach life today, whether that's in their political work, working in places like nearby Easton, which has many descendants from the Y House community, as well as Unionville, working to save their neighborhood and save their town, and taking what we were able to uncover archaeologically and to use it to show the significance and the deep roots of that community in the local area.
One of the panels in the exhibit describes what you picked up from Frederick Douglass's own writings about his childhood at Y House and what your archaeology added to it. And that panel concludes by saying, quote, he showed how to fight oppression in an ever-changing society. We identified the material of today's continued struggle. Professor Leone, what does this exhibit have to do with today's struggle?
We're a nation that is trying to establish equality between everybody who is American, including what is American. This exhibit attempts to show, using archaeology, what Americans created working together. And what they created is an equal set of original ideas, original cuisines, religions, medical and healing traditions. So what the progressive whites on the Eastern Shore want to know, and in Maryland, indeed in this university, and African Americans, is what is there that we didn't know about before? And what is out there that we didn't know about before is a brand new kind of Christianity. Afro-Protestantism in the AME and the earlier ME churches. That's the most important takeaway.
Thank you for giving us this tour.
You're entirely welcome. It's a pleasure.
Absolutely, our pleasure.
Anthropology professor Mark Leone has headed the Archaeology in Annapolis project since 1981. He and his students, including doctoral student Stefan Walke, researched, wrote, and organized the exhibit at Hornbeck Library titled Frederick Douglass and Y House, Archaeology and African American Culture in Maryland. The exhibit is mostly open Monday through Friday, but this Saturday it will be open for visitors to Maryland Day, the university's annual open house in College Park. At the On the Record page at WYPR.org, we have a link to the Y House exhibits page and to information about Maryland Day. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening to On the Record. Come back tomorrow.